Don't even know if he will remember this, but a few weeks back, Brother Guy and I were discussing, and this proverb came up, Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. And I'm just going to let you to speculate on on why that even came about. And that's coming out of the ESV. Some translations have it a little differently. But again, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Sometimes our lips, our mouth pulls us into things that we do not want to be in. And sometimes it pulls us into some consequences that we certainly don't want to have if we're foolish. I don't know about you, but kind of my idea of a fool sometimes just kind of the yuck, yuck, like that kind of fool. Maybe in the context of what we're talking about, I kind of imagine a guy who walks up to this, you know, massive, thick-necked dude and slaps him on the back of the head and say, "Hey, dummy, you took my spot," or whatever, and gets creamed, or, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, that's not always the case. That's not always a fool. There are a lot of fools in this life that, appear to be very successful. There are a lot of people who whose lips, you know, bring them into fights that, you know what, they win. A lot of people whose lips invite beatings, but it's not theirs. It's the other guy. And so, are they not fools? Well, we read this in Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Heart being the key. Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 20, and he was saying, "That which proceeds out of a mouth, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." It is the way that we act that reveals what our thoughts truly is about God, because it reveals our heart. If I were to go out and, you know, pick fights and to cause turmoil with my mouth, even though I might win so many of those, it really shows that I don't really think much about God. And so what does that make me? I think with some of these things that we're talking about, I think Goliath is a very good visualization. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 4. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, and he said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again, the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now think about the life of Goliath. Do you think up until this point, maybe his lips got himself into a lot of fights that he couldn't win? I don't know. I think reading about Goliath, he probably won a lot of those fights. But here, he certainly couldn't win. And it's not because he was up against David, it's because he was up against God. And that is why we have to be so careful with our words. Why it's so important, why our words are so important. We read in James 3 and verse 4, James says, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. If my speech is ungodly, I may come out of a certain situation without a physical black eye, but I am in contention with God, and that is a fight that we're never going to win." And if we challenge every person on the street, if we let our tongue loose to, you know, even to the people that we're close to, eventually, you know, no matter how big we are, we're going to find someone to lose to. I mean, ask Goliath. But really, in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture that we're kind of looking at here, we always lose. Now here's kind of the, I don't know, the opposite in a way, Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Now here's the question that I have. You know, if somebody is not inviting fights, you know, is the foolish man wise if he's quiet? Well, I don't know. I would say the silent fool is still a fool, no matter if everybody else thinks so. I think our goal should be not to be foolish. I mean, isn't that our goal? And this foolishness is something that extends far past the mouth. Really, God writes in Proverbs 6 and verse 16 about this whole body of foolishness. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A hand that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. The body of a fool is a body that creates pain, and it's a body that creates strife, and it's a body that creates discouragement and anxiety. Isn't it a blessing that we are not the body of a fool? Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. And one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is whose body we are. We are the body of Christ, we who are Christians. And Christ is no fool. And he anticipates what he just said, what we just read here in Ephesians chapter 4 with this in verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These things that we read listed off in the Proverbs, the haughty eyes, lying tongue, division, pain, all of these, the opposite of what we just read here in Ephesians chapter 4, that is not the outcome of a body who knows its head, if that head is Christ. Now, there's no one physical that's breaking in here and trying to force us to fight against one another, to grumble against one another, to be against one another. You know, sometimes somebody may fall short. We do too. And here's the thing, it's far better to heal the body if possible than to just cut off the hand. And sometimes, there is a Goliath in the mix, but I know for me, sometimes it's a Goliath of my own pride that shouts out why confrontations should start, why I have to win something or whatever it may be. Division is a fight that we'll never win, which is the thing to keep in mind. It is much better to appear foolish in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of our own pride than to appear foolish in the eyes of God. God, who, by the way, was willing to appear foolish in the eyes of the world for us. Christ's speech, in a way, led to a beating. We read this in Matthew 26, in verse 63. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and he said, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of a witness? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered, he deserves death. And then they spat in his face and they beat him with their fists. And others slapped him and they said, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hits you? Christ is not foolish. Christ who went through this is not foolish. We certainly shouldn't think so. He did that for you and I. And he also did it for God. He knew God and God was important to him. And here's something that we also should think about, or I think is a good thing for us to think about. Whenever the world was raining hate down upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how many of his bones were broken? Not a single one. John 19 and verse 31. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they may be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man, and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Even though the world could pierce the body of Christ, they could not break it. Never could, and never can. God said that they wouldn't, and really for Christ's body today, it's the same thing. The world cannot break us, but we can separate from one another. But we wouldn't do that. Even though we may feel pierced from hurt from time to time, even though we may feel hurt from time to time, we still have the ability to choose, with the help of God, to stand as the unified body that he calls us to under Christ Jesus, our head. And that is a body that will always stand. What an amazing Savior we have. What an amazing Savior who's done so much for us. If you this night would like to join this wonderful body of Christ, then please do so. Please come forward. Be baptized into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while we stand and as we sing.